morning, everyone. Morning. Welcome to our service this morning.
He tells us we have to be a certain way. But actually, in the Bible, what Jesus does quite a lot of the time is he calls people to do things. He calls people to be a certain way. And that's different, because if someone calls you, if someone says, come, do this, come on, then we have a choice in which we can follow him. Jesus gives us a choice to follow him. There's a great verse in the Bible, and it says this. It says, listen, it's Jesus. He says, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Jesus doesn't say, open the door, open the door. He says, listen, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. It's your choice. If you open that door, I will come and be with you and you can be with me. And we're invited to open the door this morning to be with Jesus so he can be with us. So let's stand together. We're not Simon Sessing, we're just standing. If you would, please. Thank you. And let's pray before we sing our opening hymn. There's a part in the Bible, in the book of Lamentations, that says, God's loyal love cannot run out. His merciful love cannot have dried up. They are created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? And a bit further on, it says, let's take a look then at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Let's lift our hearts and hands as one at the same time to him. So maybe we have a moment of quiet and just think about this week, even yesterday, even this morning. What are the things that we might have made mistakes in or deliberately done which were not very good? But the thing about doing something new that we don't normally do, that we suddenly think, oh, I'll do that, be it a job change, might be something like that, or a social occasion, or a favour for a friend, or washing a glass eye, or something like that, is that it causes us to step out of our comfort zone, to step out of what we're used to doing. It's a bit risky, if you like, because at the end of the day, whether we're young or we're old, whether we've experienced a lot or whether we've done very little, whether we love new things or crave familiarity, we all like to feel comfortable. We all like to have that area of our life where we know what we're doing and also where we are known for doing these things. So doing something new, experiencing something different, setting out on a different life track maybe, if it's a big thing, it's scary. Even if we don't like to admit it, even if we don't scream and scream and scream, it's a scary thing to do. So when we read about Jesus' call on the first disciples, the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John, there's a sense in which we can understand a little bit of the risk that they chose to take. To begin with, they were fishermen, which in the first century Jewish and Roman world was a fairly good profession. Sure, they weren't rich people. They weren't top of the tree. They weren't swimming in money or greatly respected by everyone. But they had a reasonable living. They worked hard at what for most of them would have been a family business passed down through generations. And their reward would have been a fairly stable lifestyle. They had to bargain and trade to get a profit, but in all likelihood, there would have been no shortage of people wanting their fish. This was one of the main staples of a first century family. So the markets would have been full of demand of people wanting fish. They'd also been full of fish because there were lots of fishermen. In other words, it was a good trade, one which created a good, stable life, one that they were comfortable with and one that they knew very well and that they were known for, and one which they'd passed down generation to generation. So when Jesus arrived in the midst of their activities, among all the other fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus arrived and called Peter, Andrew, James and John to come, follow me, it was a bit of a risk. It may well have been that they'd seen Jesus before. It may well have been that they'd witnessed him teaching and they'd seen him perform a miracle, as the Gospels of Luke and John suggest. But even so, it's no indication that they're dissatisfied with the lives they have at that time. There doesn't seem to be a desire from them before that to have a change of scene or escape from this drudgery of fishing. They don't seem unhappy. They're not at the bottom of the heap with nothing to lose, so why not follow Jesus? So to respond to him would have been a little bit scary, because it would mean doing something unfamiliar, something they didn't really know a lot about. And yet when he calls to them, we're told they don't hesitate. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. On hearing those three words from Jesus, they left all they were comfortable with, all they were known for, to follow a man they'd hardly met, who told them he would send them out to fish for people. Now, it may be that when Jesus called the first disciples, when he said, "Come, follow me," that they saw him as a rabbi, you know, a person who was believed to have been closer to God in the Jewish world, a teacher, if you like. These rabbis regularly had groups of disciples who would follow their teachings and hang on their every word. There were a lot of rabbis around who had disciples. And these fishermen would have understood that to follow him, if he was a rabbi, would mean to literally follow him around, to learn from his teachings, to learn from what he did, to live their life following him. So when Jesus says, "Come, follow me," Peter, Andrew, James and John may have had that kind of image in mind, following this person, listening to them, watching what they did. But even so, even if Jesus was a respected rabbi, they still would not have been forced to follow him. They would not have been forced to give up their livelihood and their family to follow a rabbi who would teach them about God. At the end of the day, it was their choice, and their choice alone. And when they heard the call of Jesus, each one of them chose to follow. Each one of them left their nets and their boat and their family, all that they were comfortable with, and followed Jesus into the future, which for anyone was a great risk, especially as Jesus wasn't simply asking them to follow as a traditional rabbi might. He wasn't asking them to simply listen to various teachings and observe the things that he did. He was asking them to follow him and also to take on his lifestyle. He was asking them to go and do something different, to go and fish for people. Or if you like, he was asking them to give up all they knew, all they were gifted in, all they were known for, to enter into a new way of living. Do you know, I didn't know whether to tell you this because I'm a bit embarrassed, but a few years ago, I got caught speeding. I was pregnant and I blamed the hormones, can I just say. Also, I was looking for directions and I didn't know where. Anyway, I got caught speeding on a camera. Well, I wasn't going very fast and I had a choice. Do I pay the fine or do I go on one of these speed awareness courses? Now, since I've told people about this, a lot of people have gone, "Oh yeah, I've been on one of them." So, you know, I feel in company of a lot of good people. But I chose to go on this course because, you know, I thought, well, it'd be interesting. And so in my mind, I imagined I'd turn up to this course and I'd be told all about road rules and, you know, speeds and things like that. It'd be a very interesting course, and then I'd go away and just, you know, carry on. This is my view. So I turned up to this course, and yes, it was very interesting, and we got taught lots of things and we had lots of discussions. Some people turned up very angry because they'd been caught speeding and they were only doing 32 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. Other people, like myself, a little bit embarrassed. Sorry, you know. But we were all there and we all learnt. What I didn't bargain for was that when I left the speed awareness course, my driving life was changed. I am now one of those people who you might get very annoyed at because I go at the speed limit, right up to the sign that changes the speed limit. I don't cut down those signs. I go right up to it. People get annoyed at me, but it's changed my life. I can't drive fast in a zone that I shouldn't be now because I've heard all this stuff and it's transformed the way I drive. And I wasn't bargaining for that. But the course changed my driving. And I can't really ever see it going back. Not that I was a reckless driver, but I can't see me just ignoring some of the speeds. I have to go by it now. And you know, when the disciples chose to follow Jesus that day, not only did they learn more about God, as they might have expected, but their lives were radically changed as well. Peter and Andrew followed in the footsteps of Jesus to the point of crucifixion. And in later years, both of them died, being crucified at the hands of the Romans. James was also killed on the orders of Herod because he followed Jesus. Andrew, of course, after his death, became the patron saint of many countries, including our own, and Peter, the founder of the biggest church in the world. But none of them knew where this journey would take them at the time they chose to follow Jesus. They simply heard his call, and they left their life of security, and they went and followed God. And you know, today, when we hear the call of Jesus on our lives, when we become aware of those words that challenge us to come, follow me, we don't know where it will lead. We have no idea what the future will hold. We cannot imagine the paths that we might follow if we follow Jesus. We don't know how secure it will be or how we will be remembered when people look back over our lives. But what we do know is that when Jesus calls us, when he asks us to follow him, not only is he calling us to learn from him, he's also calling us to enter into life with him, to leave our comfort zone, to hand over the things that cause us to be stagnant and self-satisfied, and to put our trust in him. Not to exchange one familiar world for another. You know, not to just come to church on a Sunday and discuss the passages we read and gather together in a cozy house to pray and call this following God, but instead to choose to enter into the life of God unreservedly with 100% dedication. Now, for most of us, this won't mean leaving our job or our business or our family trade. And I don't believe for a second that Jesus is calling us to drop our family responsibilities, our children, our partners, our homes, or our friends. But if we're serious about being a disciple of Christ, if we're serious about putting God first and allowing him to change our lives, then we need to trust him completely. We need to hold lightly to those things which have become our security. Maybe that is our family. Maybe that is our job. Maybe that is our standing in the community. Maybe it's our habits and our rituals which we do every day. But whatever it is, when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to go with him, we choose to hold lightly to these things and put them in the hands of God, enabling us to trust him with our lives. And you know, that's really hard. And to us, it feels like a bit of a risk to do that, because as human beings, we like to hold tightly to as much as we can, especially to those things that people who are really precious to us. We find it extremely difficult to let go of our comforts and our securities to follow someone else. To the point that in the end, it becomes a lot easier to simply turn following Jesus into a religion of church services and intellectual discussion and occasional good works, which we dress up as following God, when actually this is not what Jesus calls us to do. These are things that we will do as we decide to follow God, but when it comes down to it, Jesus calls us to something very different. In the book of Luke, it's put like this: we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him daily. Or if you like, it is a call to let go of that which we are comfortable and secure with, to follow God in living out a completely new life, so that others might look at us and know what it is to truly live. This is the call of Christ on our lives, and this is what we are asked to respond to when we come to him. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table.
Here we have tasted the bread of heaven and shared the new wine of your kingdom. We ask now that you'd empower us by your Spirit, that we may be a gospel people, that we may bring your good news to the world around us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask. Amen. Please be seated.